All right, Nebraska basketball off of one of the more successful seasons in a while, a trip to the NCAA tournament, and the work doesn't stop because now the construction of the roster for the next year almost begins immediately after you get back from the NCAA tournament. One of the good guys that has been part of it now for the last 3 years is Nate Lenzer, and Coach Lenzer joins us now on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Nate, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, how do you balance... And you've been through this before at Iowa State with the highs and the lows of this time of the year. How do you balance a couple of days after your season comes to an end, the balance of, man, we had a good season, but we're disappointed on what happened Friday night. What's that balance like as a coach?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, I'm not a super reflective person, but I'd like to say that I'm more in the mode of just keeping my head down and yes, there's an element of maybe pride for what the whole season looked like, but yet the competitor in you wishes you're still playing, and even the human side of you, wishes you had more time to still coach the Josiah Alex, the Tominagas, the Louis Colemans, and things like that. So any end of the year is tough. And then obviously when you feel like, you left a little bit on the table, that makes it tougher. But I think the way, at least for me personally, it's written on my board. I actually just wrote it up a couple of days ago, just keep pushing. And, this has been a process for us, for me personally too, getting here 2 years ago and going through three seasons now and just where we've come as a program in that time. But, the fire is still definitely burning, and you just transition, to your point, into that next phase. I don't think any of it ever stops. Mm-hmm. When you talk about recruiting is is every day. It's going on through the season and then the off season, development, relationships, all of it, none of it changes. I think the only thing that changes is maybe for the fans or the competitions, we have to wait until next year, but it's all about, what can we do today and keep moving forward. And I think that's the best way. That's the only way I know how to keep pushing and keep moving forward.
Coach, we saw this thing come together, through the eyes of being fans and covering this team rather early, but I get the feeling you guys knew you had something a little bit more special maybe earlier in the process. How much going all the way back to the international trip over the summer, how much did that go into getting this group together, but also being able to put that on track to result in the season that we saw with this team?
Yeah, I think... I would even actually maybe even take it further back. I think there was a big shift if you start to look at Nebraska basketball in the Fred Hoiberg era, even back to 2 years ago, just with, the coaching staff, the recruiting, the type of kids we were bringing in, just the, some of, Fred and our philosophy of how we're going to play, how we're going to compete in the Big Ten level, all those fun things. Going back to and Griesel and Manuel Bandamel and Juwan Gary were a big part of even that shift, right? If we kind of talk to that. So I think that all started, at this time 2 years ago, when we were recruiting those guys and bringing in, Coach Howard and Coach Ziegler and just all of that. So, I would go even further back from Spain about, making sure we were on the right path in all areas. And I thought it started that year, Derek Walker with that group and just, changing some of the narrative, changing some of how we were approaching our day-to-day habits and how we were doing everything, top to bottom. And it started to shift that year. And, then you go back to last spring and now it's, recruiting a ranked Mast. It's recruiting Bryce Williams. It's recruiting Josiah Alec and with the freshman that we had signed in the fall and just the overall just intentionality of the whole program. Mm-hmm. And so like making sure the parts fit, mm-hmm. making sure we were getting the right guys in the building. And then from there, you know, it's kind of cliche-ish, but making sure we had the right guys in the right seats in the bus too. And, ooh. You know, in June, even before Spain, you're getting everybody, you know, that's when guys start to simulate and their summer workouts and things like that. But I mean, still like, you know, Josiah was coming off of ankle surgery, so he didn't have a summer last summer. A couple guys that we added even late after Spain. So, I mean, it's all just a process that was intentional, but it was, you know, yes, you start to see that ball rolling, but you know, it starts to pick up steam when all practices start. Now you start to see how the parts fit and guys start to see how they, you know, react to each other and all that, and how they react to coaching and how they react to being in a new environment and a new system. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there was obviously flashes. We liked our guys. Yeah. That's always part of it, but you like your guys. But once you get everybody healthy and you start to see them work together and gel together, yeah, I mean, we liked our guys. And what that looks like on the court and how that always pans out, I think no one truly knows. But Gal, it was a very fun group to work with each and every day. I know Coach Hoiberg talks about that at length, and I would echo that. You know, it was a group that took coaching, you know, and took instruction, and we had some men on the team and had guys that had been from good programs and had been coached too and things like that. Those all help. And they were receptive and they were willing and they were, they bought into what we were trying to do. And, you know, we stayed semi-healthy for the most part, which is always critical in college basketball. I mean, it wasn't that way in the summer as I was talking about. And we had, you know, rink in the middle of the season and Joe had some bumps and bruises and we had, you know, things like that, but we stayed relatively healthy, which is always a part of it. You know, it's one that people don't want to talk about sometimes, but there's that. But we also had a roster that could withstand a couple of those bumps and bruises throughout the year too. So that's good. And obviously getting to culminate at the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. I mean, you always aspire and you always have goals to do that. But it was good to see that this program and these guys stuck with it, and we were able to show more about the path that we're on with the idea that, and I think all of us know that the work is not done and we're not satisfied and these guys aren't satisfied, our coaching staff isn't satisfied, and we love the support, we love the direction. We are very hungry to keep building and going.
There is a lot of great stuff in there. Nebraska assistant Nate Lenzer joins us. So now I'm going to ask you about yourself, because you talked about the team and the importance of the locker room, where it's not just Sam Griesel at the top. It's all the way down to the 13th, 14th guy that they've all bought in. How important is it that we've seen the transition? Because it's not the same staff that when Fred got here, he has made some changes. That it seems, Coach, that you, Adam, Ernie, Fred are all connected so well and complement each other so well. Is that true? And also, if it is, why is that the case that all you guys are together to lead this kind of resurgence last 2 years, but especially this year?
Well, that's a credit to Fred, and that's a credit to him and his vision and you know, making some changes and, you know, and in some ways recognizing that wasn't good enough and we needed to get better. Mm-hmm. And in all areas, in everything. And sometimes that's not easy to do and easy to recognize, and that's why it deserves all the credit in the world for his vision, for his, you know, Garmin reroute, you know, and
Garmin, love it,
and more importantly, I mean, it wasn't like reinventing the wheel for him per se, but it's not like, I mean, shoot, I was with him those last couple years in Iowa State. I knew what he did at Iowa State. It's mm-hmm. not like his recipe wasn't successful. You know, it's just sometimes getting back to it, you know, leaning into it. And now with that being said, you know, Nebraska is not Iowa State. The Big Ten is not the Big 12 that we were right. in at that stage of the time too. So, you know, I heard this once, you know, your philosophy usually doesn't change as a coach. You know what I mean? It's who you are, what you believe in is usually not going to change. But there is an element of, depending on the players and maybe the players you're getting or the players you have, your system may tweak a little bit from year to year, situation to situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you believe you're going to play, you know, if the ball is going to hit the paint, you know, if you've got Russell Westbrook, he's going to drive the ball and you're going to construct your offense that way. If you got Joel Embiid, you're going to hit the paint through the post up, you know, but so the philosophy is still hitting the paint is the same, but maybe it looks a little different based off of your personnel. And I think, you know, coach has a way that he likes to play and we like to play with pace and space, shoot threes and things like that too. And that's probably never going to change, right? Philosophically, but just some of the ways we went about doing some of that changed. And then also, you know, just finding the right people to fit in the Big Ten and things like that, be in our system and be able to play both sides of the ball. I mean, I like football. So like we're talking defense. Like Big Ten, like let's talk Big Ten football. Like you better stop the run in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because if you don't do that, and then they're just going to keep running the ball and things like that. So, I mean, so like for us in the Big Ten defensively, if we're talking basketball, like you better protect the paint, you better protect the post. Not every league, not every conference, not every system believes in that, but like you're going against the Zach Edey's, the Trace Jackson Davis's, the Earl Payne's, go down the list, all that, like you better do that. And it's not going to be super fancy after that, you know? So there's an element, you better protect some of that first. Those are kind of like some broad ways of looking at it. I just think, to your point, going back with the coaching staff, I mean, you know, I think there's an element of, you know, Fred is an unbelievable person to work with and work for. I've worked with him for 9+ years. I one time counted up the number of games. You know, you start talking NBA, I mean, it's 350 plus that we've been together. So we've been together in a lot of different places, a lot of different situations. And I've been with a lot of different now assistant coaches and different coaching staff with him. But this mix, this blend, you know, this variety, even with our coaching staff, just has a way of complementing each other very well. And timing and fit and situation and all that, you know, it's come together well. And I just think, you know, the ability to be able to work together and, but also be able to model what, being a part of team looks like, that can trickle down to your players as well. And that also makes it easier, for your players to see, you know, not that we have to all be the same, but that we can work together and we can all still work towards a common goal. And that there's an element of role definition where this guy does this and this guy does that. Mm-hmm. And everybody shares in the success of it too. You know, we can't all be the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be some linemen, there's got to be some receivers, and everybody's got to do their job and they got to lean into what they are doing and to make the whole thing fit. And I think, to your point, we got a good group here, and that even extends past the guys that everybody talks about. That's even our video coordinator, our player development guy, our secretary, our GAs, our managers. Like we and Fred specifically has assembled a very good group in our program, and a lot of people that, you know, that don't get the same notoriety that maybe Fred does and our coaching staff does.
Coach, a word that we used about this team a lot was connected. And we know that you guys have just gotten through a lot of your player evaluations and player meetings, and it's on to that next phase of this roster. And the transfer portal is always going to be a big part of that. We know Nebraska, you know, now has three guys in the transfer portal. But when you think of that connection throughout the season, maybe what has changed the most is, we use this in football and every sport, is being able to re-recruit your roster and that retention. How big of an in-season thing is that, as well as kind of collecting yourself after the season and trying to take inventory of who you feel strong is going to come back and who you're kind of worried about? I mean, in season, is that a major topic amongst the coaches, though, of is this person happy? Do we feel like this person's involved? Is this person, are they connected with everything we're doing? How does all that work, especially these last couple of years where we've seen the transfer portal so volatile?
Yeah, I just think in general, like basketball, portal, football, athletics has changed so much. And it's, I was a fan once too, right? I mean, I grew up, my dad was not Shaquille O'Neal or whatever. And like, it's, you know, or my dad wasn't Bill Musselman and all that fun stuff. You know, like I,
Bill fan, Musselman, you know, and I, good on you.
But my point is like, things have changed. I mean, and this is my, I think, 21st or 22nd year of coaching. I've been at Southern Miss, I've been at Iowa State, and now I've been at Nebraska. I think 11 of those years of coaching in college. And oh my gosh, the way to recruit is so different than it was in when I was with Larry Eustace back at Southern Miss. I mean, it's so different. Mm-hmm. Just in general, rosters are going to turn over in college basketball and in college athletics, just the way the rules have allowed themselves. You know what I mean? I think that's the way I think. And that doesn't mean that you have to like it or you have to, agree with it. But like at the end of the day, that they have allowed college student athletes the freedom to look and explore and to find the best situation for themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would go back to myself. I grew up in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and went to Iowa State in my first semester at Iowa State. My parents went to Iowa State. I knew I was going to go to Iowa State. And in my first semester, I was homesick and wanted to leave a place that I knew very, very well, as an example. And so there's that. And think about how many 18 to 21 or 22 year olds mm-hmm. change majors too.
Yeah.
So like, just think in general, like take it. I think the best way is take a step back and just look at in general, 18 to 21 year olds, if you're a adult that wants the good old days or whatever those look like, and then put yourself back into what we were all like at that age. You know what I mean? And all the things that, all the decisions and the changes and, you know, the girlfriend or boyfriend we thought we were going to marry that we didn't marry, and all those, you know, how things changed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, as an example, like, I know that's not what we're talking about, but in some ways we are, though. Like, that's like, these kids have choices, you know, just like these programs have choices, you know, you get one shot at this, and we all want people to stick it out. We all want people to stay at our school because that's how we are as fans and as people, but we are also like, we also love it when those guys transfer to us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so, it's,
right.
So like, it's kind of a, it's, that's, yeah. that's how it yeah. all is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think the best way to look at it is, instead of like maybe being consumed by it mm-hmm. is how, you know, like, I don't know. You recruit the best people for your teams. And sometimes those situations can change, but you, while they're in your building and while they're in your program, you treat them, in my opinion, the best possible. Yep. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody gets to play or everybody gets to play when they want to play, right? Like, this is not like youth basketball or camp basketball where 1 through 5, we sub, blow the horn, and now 6 through 10 come in, right? Mm-hmm. So like, this is competitive sport. So like, look, nobody wants people to leave, but yet also like there's an element, and maybe this is, you know, taking my reroute as a G League coach. For example, I was a head G League coach, Windy City Bulls inaugural season. I had 27 different players in a 50 game season. So like, and shoot, for couple years with the Bulls, we weren't really trying to win. You know what I mean? So we had guys coming in and out, and we were trying to see who would fit and wouldn't fit. So, like, maybe that's desensitizing me a little bit. Like, you know, transfers is a little bit a part of this. And, like, for me personally, I look at, I don't know what the window is going to look like. And that's an element. Like, with these transfers, it could be a one-year deal. It could be a two-year. It could be five. But, like, at the end of the day, I do know Coach Hoiberg, our staff, we're going to pour into these guys while they're here and they're in our building. And we're going to be honest. We're going to be direct. We're going to treat them. I mean, we're all family men. We're going to, you know, have tough conversations, but we're also going to try to treat these guys the right way. And whatever that window looks, and while they're here, we're still going to coach them to the best of our ability. And then whatever ends up happening, you know, in this time, in the spring, you know, I think that's how we look at things. And then ultimately there's an element of, okay, coach is going to meet with these guys and reevaluate where they're at, tell what in, and if this is what you want to continue to do, then do. But, like, you know, I think, sometimes, as you know, like, maybe the players and the coaching, their evaluation of where they're at and what they want, they don't line up and it's different, then you have to sit out a year and all that. So maybe it does make more sense for them to find a different place, even though that, you know, if that makes sense. That's maybe a general way to look at it rather than, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a good way, Nate,
because you're balancing your old school mentality with the current mentality of where basketball is. We'll get you out on this.
Yep.
So if I'm talking to you next year and you're not in the NCAA tournament or off a successful season, you're going to be disappointed. You're an incredible competitor, and that means a lot to you. So the goal is to continue this and not have the same feeling, go another step further, win a game in the NCAA tournament. So with the guys that you know that are going to be here, and you kind of know who you're chasing and what is going to mix in, and a couple of freshmen that are coming in, your wish list for what this team has to do to take that next step in the offseason so that you can win 24 games, you can win an NCAA game. What is at the top of your wish list that this program, with guys you know are coming back on the floor, they have to do in the offseason to get better?
Yeah, I think just, I mean, we didn't get to where we were at this year. Skipping steps, missing days, not attacking today. So, like, the second we're off this phone, like, it's back to doing what I need to do to get these guys better and look for, or as a staff, us compile the best guys that help us take the next step. We talked in the fall about taking the next step. It's funny you say that. So you, like, whatever it is, you know, we always want to improve what that looks like. And, but I think just like we can't look, I mean, how you handle success is the same way how you handle failure. You have to have the ability to separate what's real and what's fake. And, you know, when things are going well, really make sure that you're not susceptible to stubbing up. And when things aren't going well, when people are jumping off your ship and the world feels like it's caving in, realizing that, hey, we do have a good team. You know what? We can still, you know, reach or attain great things with this team and things like that. So I think just like anything, this is, to me, it's more about developing those day-to-day habits, continuing to do that and continuing to enhance our roster, continuing to enhance the quality of people we have, but more importantly, like, attacking each and every day. Because when you start worrying about the future or worrying about the past, and now you let these days slide away, then all of a sudden it's days turn to weeks, months, and now you wasted it, and now you fall back. And that's what we don't want. Because guess what? Like, just like we were motivated, just like you know, all these, it's not like these other programs aren't trying to get better and enhance themselves too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody in the Big Ten is in that boat right now of, okay, whatever happened, happened. But, you know, next year started, you know, Friday night. You know, that's the reality of it. And that's why guys are so emotional in the locker room. And that's, you know, because some guys don't get to be a part of next year, right?
Yeah.
Good point. They've got to move on to their other careers and all that. But, like, there's I've been in a lot of those. I've been in a lot of those locker rooms at the end of the year. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden, boom, all of it, you know, your red shirts, your sit out, all those guys, it's now here, you know, and it's not tomorrow, it's today. So, like, that's how I look at. And then after that, you know, there's a lot of uncontrollables that can happen and how you did it. But if you attack today, then whatever our destiny is moving forward will be the best version of that.
Hey, great stuff, Coach. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the season. And it's your world. It never ends. But at some point when you're out with the family on vacation in the middle of the summer, I know you'll appreciate this season. But it's a grind. We always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. Go Big Red.
It's Nebraska assistant basketball coach Nate Lenzer. Told you a lot without getting into specifics if you listen very closely about what they're going to do with their roster.
Yeah,
they are done with individual player meetings. So three guys are in the portal, Ramel Lloyd Jr., Blaze Cada, not a surprise. Eli Rice is the one that Nate said something about roles and playing time that I don't want to connect dots, but I'm thinking in my head, why did he transfer or make the decision to get in the portal? Mm-hmm. So we don't know who will be next. I imagine there is one or maybe two, but they're done with those meetings. So those decisions have kind of been made. You have until May 1st to go into the portal in college basketball. You don't have to make a decision by May 1, but you can go into the portal. And if you've been following any activity, they've contacted a lot of people. I think all the local guys that have gotten into the portal have been contacted by Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to swing, and the NIL for basketball is better than it was at this time last year when Nebraska was chasing Kirk Creasa, who ended up at West Virginia, and that thing was all over the map. So they're in a better spot. And the selling point of they won 23 games and went to the NCAA tournament, and things are different after 5 years compared to after 4 years with Nebraska.
Yep. And, again, there was a lot there, but What I think more than anything is it comes back to something that I think we reiterated a lot when talking about this team too, with the culture, and that he even made reference to that kind of started back last season. But this new phase, and he's right, it started at the end of the game against Texas A&M on Friday. This new season, this new phase of sustainability. Now that's what I think we're all looking for, is okay, you finally had that season, you had that breakthrough season. That sustainability, how it happens, and what it actually looks like with this roster too. Yep. Because who are going to be the key guys that come back, and then who are the key additions, but still having that culture that you've now established for two straight years.
All right. A little bit later, Brandon Vogel will join us coming up in the next hour of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.